Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Schaltbau 9M 2018 financial results call. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Mr. Güsken, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Jasmin. This is Wolfgang Güsken. As the investor relations representative of Schaltbau, I'm happy to welcome you to our Q3 and 9M 2018 results conference call this afternoon. We will have our CEO, Albrecht Köhler, and our CFO, Thomas Dippold, lead you through the presentation. For the Q&A session following the presentation part of the event, we will have our CRO, Martin Kleinschmidt, available as well. For those of you who have not already downloaded from our website the 9M 2018 group quarterly statement presentation document, which will support this call, please go to schaltbau.com and access the file in the presentation section of the investor relations and media landing page. If this is not an option for you should still be able to follow the call even without the presentation document at hand. Jumping right into the document, on slide number two, we comment that today's presentation contains forward-looking statements regarding future developments based on information currently available. As a result of risk and uncertainties, actual outcomes could differ from the forward-looking statements made. Schaltbau does not intend to update these forward-looking statements. Finally, please take notice that this call will be recorded and that a replay of the call will be made available on our website. Now, we have included slide number four with our 9M 2018 key figures at a glance for your self-study, and I will now hand it over to Albrecht Köhler, who will lead you through the overall assessment of our business development so far this year on slide number five. Albrecht, please go ahead.
Thank you for your introduction, Wolfgang. Ladies and gentlemen, also from my side, welcome to our Q3 investor call. My name is Albrecht Köhler, CEO of Schaltbau Holding AG. Before summarizing our performance so far this year, let me have a quick word on the ad hoc release related to the adjustments to the valuation of Alten Body U.K. We finalized our annual midterm planning for the years 2019 up to 2021 just recently. Based on the planning data provided by the individual legal entities and corporate review of this data, we came to a revised view on the value of the Alten Body U.K., followed by immediate actions to impair these assets right away. This measure was mandatory in order to appropriately reflect realities and to reduce risk of further valuation adjustments significantly. Now let's have a look at the nine months highlights of this fiscal year. Look at slide five. First of all, and most important, our overall operating performance is in line with our expectations. We show some operative improvements in our core businesses and a stabilization in the problem areas. Our order intake backs our future development, and we are proud of the trust of customers. We finished Q3 with a current order book of 515 million euro, signaling further growth to come. Despite the disposal of Bubenzer on 1st of March this year, nine months 2018 sales are 4% higher than in the respective period in 2017, when Bubenzer was consolidated for the full year. We overcompensate this effect by strong organic growth with Components and Alten Body Group. Sales go up by 16% on a like-for-like basis. This also influences our nine-month bottom line. Our reported EBIT increases from -16.4 million euro last year in Q3 2017 to -1.5 million euro at the end of September. Without exceptional items, our EBIT reaches 12.3 million euro, which means a solid 3.3 EBIT margin. Thanks to the trust of our shareholders during the capital increase in Q1 this year, we significantly reduced our debt and also strengthened our equity. This was a major cornerstone to prove financial stability and sustainability of our businesses. We also made further progress in improving our cost position by signing a restructuring bargaining agreement at pinch entities, saving us 2 million euros in 2018 and 2019 each. The successful renegotiation of the PSD project in Sao Paulo also led to a release of provisions of over 7 million euro in 2018, and most important, this revised agreement limits future risk for us. As I said before, we informed you last week about the impairment of Alte and Body UK, totaling roughly 12 million euro. This also reduces risk of further EBIT hits in the future and keeps our asset healthy. All in all, we can confirm our operating guidance for 2018, which we introduced to you in April 2018. We stick to the goals originally set for our sales and EBIT before exceptional items, and we are confident to present you final 2018 figures in line with the initial guidance for the first time since years. Our CFO, Thomas Diepold, will now go through the 9 months figures in detail. So go ahead, Thomas.
Thank you, Albrecht, for your overview. I would like to continue with the business development of our group in greater detail. On slide 6, you see our order intake reported and like-for-like. As a reminder, where are the differences between reported and like-for-like? One deviation results from the sale of Pinch Bubenzer, effective 1st of March 2018, so we do have orders, sales and EBIT figures only for 2 months in our 2018 books, compared to the full year 2017 contributions. The other difference relates to the status of SEPSA. In Q4 last year, we decided to sell SEPSA, therefore it since has been treated as an asset held for sale under IFRS 5. As a consequence, in our income statement, we only show SEPSA sales. SEPSA's operational contribution does not affect group EBIT anymore, but goes straight into equity. Coming back to the order intake, we do see a healthy reported order intake so far in 2018 with 420 million euro. This is 24 million lower than last year. Without the mentioned Bubenzer and SEPSA effects, our like-for-like order intake increases to 390 million euro, driven by the segments stationary transportation technology and components. Our components business sees an order growth of 6% after 9 months compared to last year, demonstrating the demand for snap action switches, connectors and contactors is still ongoing. Pinch Group, which represents our stationary transportation segment, also shows higher order intake compared to a very low basis last year. The reason for the increase comes from Pinch Tiefenbach having been awarded a major train formation unit project. Overall, we see some consolidation and stabilization of the demand for stationary rail products on a low level. Our rolling stock business also shows a good like-for-like order intake of 216 million euros so far this year, thanks to the strong performance at Bode. The like-for-like reduction in mobile transportation order intake is due to the record high order intake at Bode last year and lower order intakes at Alte this year. All in all, we see a healthy end of September order book of 515 million euro going into Q4 this year. This gives us confidence for further sales growth with increasing bottom line effects in the months to come. On slide 7, we show you where the sales growth so far in this year comes from. Except Pinch, all segments grow significantly and with growth rates higher than the relevant markets. Our component business increases the top line in double digits with German Schaltbau GmbH, Chinese Xi'an and Italian SPIE entity contributing the most. Rolling stock sales are mainly influenced by Bodis performance, followed by Polish Rawak's increase, and the remarkable development of our refurbishment business, still on a low level. Those sales increases offset the negative sales developments of CEPSA by far. Our pinch entities see declining sales figures compared to last year in each entity. However, the outlook in stationary transportation technology for the coming months shows a consolidation on the low level currently reached. Slide 8 shows the development of our bottom line and the transition from reported EBIT to EBIT before exceptional items. Compared to last year, this year's reported EBIT increases by almost 15 million euro. As a reminder, last year no adjusted EBIT was reported at Q3. The Q3 2017 EBIT included the impairment of CEPSA of 12 million euro and the operative performance of this entity in the P&L. In 2018, we see 6 negative and 1 positive exceptional effects in the transition from reported to adjusted EBIT. The positive correction is a release of the provision for onerous project of the PSD business in Brazil with 7 billion euro. The negative one-offs are the 2 impairments of Alte and Bode UK with 12 million euro in total, plus the impairment of capitalized expenses at Pinch with 1.6 million euro. Also, the subsequent impairment, according to IFRS 5, for the purchase of the real estate in CEPSA affects our reported EBIT, as well as the deconsolidation effects in relation with the sale of Bubensa. Last but not least, restructuring costs of 2.6 million also reduce our reported EBIT. Without all those effects, we would have shown an EBIT of 12.3 million euro. On the basis of these figures, we are confident to achieve the EBIT guidance of around 3% before exceptional items. On slide 9, you can see the development of our cash flow. Looking at the development of the first 9 months, we show a positive free cash flow of 7 million euro in 2018, compared to negative 30 million euro in 2017. While the operating cash flow was negative with 28 million euro, a positive cash flow from investing activities of 35 million euro was achieved. Looking at the development of the operating cash flow in 2018, we cannot be satisfied. Despite an increase in EBITDA, especially the working capital in 2018 has developed negatively, mainly due to an increase in inventories. Here, it is important to make further efforts and to implement the measures already identified. The positive change in cash flow from investing activities mainly relates to the release of the funds from an escrow account and the proceeds from the sale of Pinch Bubensa. Negative changes in cash flow from financing activities mainly result from loan repayments offsetting the cash inflow from the capital increase successfully placed in February this year. Coming to the next chapter, how did the segments develop in the first 9 months of the year? On slide 10, you see the development of mobile transportation technology. Revenues increased significantly as a result of higher business volumes, mainly driven by Bode Group. Order intake declined in 2018 due to the record high order intakes at Bode last year and order intake drop at Alte this year. However, the overall top line development in this segment is in line with our expectations. Currently, the segment shows a negative EBIT of 16 million euro, which is mainly impacted by an extraordinary impairment of Alte in Bode UK amounting 12.3 million euro, as well as charges related to the purchase of CEPSA real estate in July this year. This effect is technical in nature and based on the specifics of the IFRS valuation. Alte's operating performance in 2018 is disappointing and does not meet our expectations by far. Please note that in the first 9 months 2017, the EBIT was affected by a 12 million euro impairment on Cepsa.
Thanks, Thomas. Let me explain in addition. With regard to the increase in the EBIT margin, we have already initiated a large number of measures. The positive effect we'll see in the following quarters. In 9 months 2018, there is a significant positive EBIT contribution from Body Group already, which is unfortunately eaten up by the disappointing performance of Alte. And we are working hard to eliminate the root cause of any poor performance in the mobile transportation technology segment. Go ahead, Thomas.
On slide 11, you see the performance of the stationary transportation technology segment. We managed to stabilize the situation within the Pinch Group and introduced first improvement in the right direction. Like for like, the order intake increased over 30% compared to the first 9 months 2017, largely due to winning a major order for a train formation unit project at Pinch Tiefenbach. Unfortunately, this order intake will turn into revenues earliest 2019 onwards. Looking at the current sales in the first 9 months 2018, there's a year-on-year decline of more than 40%, which is mainly due to the sale of Pinch Bubenzer in March this year. In all Pinch entities, we see a moderate decline in sales volume in the first 9 months 2018. Some of the missing sales are due to customer pushouts at Pinch Barmag, mostly to be recovered until year-end. After a negative EBIT after the first 9 months 2017, in 2018, the segment stationary transportation technology was able to achieve a balanced result so far. The EBIT improvement is mainly driven by the release of a provision for onerous contracts for the PSD project in Brazil, as well as cost reductions. The most important cost saving was the restructuring agreement with the Workers' Council. These positive EBIT effects were partly offset by an impairment of capitalized intangible assets. All in all, we can say that we are on a good path in this segment, and further restructuring and PSD closing benefits will lead to a positive development in the next quarters. The segment components continues to show a strong operational performance, as you can see on slide 12. In addition to an ongoing high order intake, revenues increased by 17% to roughly 112 million euro in the first 9 months of this year. This strong sales increase is driven by an ongoing high demand for connectors, snap action switches, and contactors. Due to the high sales volume, a favorable product mix, and productivity improvements, the segment components was again able to increase its strong prior year EBIT to over 22 million euro this year. This means an EBIT margin of 20%. Ladies and gentlemen, on slide 13, you see the current equity and net debt of the Schallbau Group. With the successful capital increase in February, Schallbau was able to improve and stabilize its capital base significantly. Currently, Schallbau's equity totals 102 million euro, and the equity ratio improved to 25%. With the money raised and the capital increase, and with the sale of Pinch Bubenzer, we were able to return the bridge financing of 25 million euro and also to repay a certain part of the overall debt. For the rest of the financial year 2018, we expect a further reduction of our net debt. I'm coming to the last chapter of my presentation, the guidance on slide 14. We are pleased to confirm both our sales and our EBIT guidance this year. After years of correcting our goals several times during the year, we will be able to comply with the guidance we communicated in April this year. Without the contributions from Cepsa and Pinch Bubenzer, we are convinced to achieve sales in the range of 480 to 500 million euro. Despite our still existing operative problems, this is really extremely good news. We show a very strong organic growth of roughly 10% of our adjusted sales, mainly because of Bode Group and components. With that, We exceed the relevant market growth rates by far, and we are winning market share and new customers. I want to close my part of the presentation with slide 15. Here you can see an overview of all the targets we communicated last April. A solid order book serves as a stable basis for profitable growth. We once more confirm our target for the EBIT margin before extraordinary items of around 3%.
Thank you, Thomas. This is Wolfgang once more. Albrecht and Thomas provided significant color on the development of Schallbau in the first 9 months of the year. And before opening the floor for questions, let me hint you to the release date of our financial reporting next year, as shown on the final slide of the presentation document, slide 16. With this, I hand it back to Arkadin to manage the Q&A process. Yasmin, go ahead.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. We received our first question from Alexander Hornstein, DZ Bank. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Alex Hornstein from DZ Bank. I have a few questions, and maybe we can take them one by one. First of all, with regard to your guidance, I think we should definitely honor your achievements in this year. However, I'm wondering, after having a pretty strong 9 months already, showing about 12.3 million, and taking this in context of your guidance, which implies at the upper end of the sales guidance, 500 multiplied by the 3% margin range, this would mean 15 million for the full year. So I'm wondering what makes you believe that in Q4 you can only achieve 2.7 million, or to put it differently, why did you not lift your guidance today? That was the first question, please.
Now, Mr. Hornstein, thank you for your question. With regard to the guidance and with the experiences we had from last year, we definitely want to make sure that we achieve our targets. And as we already said, we are quite confident, but especially in Q4 and especially in the stationary transportation segment at Pinch Group, we see a lot of projects that need to be finalized, and this is sometimes not 100% in our hands. So we are rather keep it a little bit on the break, but we would be even more than happy to surprise you with a positive deviation once we have it. But for the moment, please allow us to have this view on this. This is really reflects our solid expectation for the year end.
Okay, thank you. That sounds quite good. Next question would be with regard to the cost and risk reduction. What are the next steps here? Maybe you could give some further color here and give us also a timeline here when these measures might materialize into higher profitability at the bottom line, please. I'm also thinking about having an update eventually more on the Altus side, which risks are still in book here. What are the levels regarding that, and what is, let's say, the plan A and also the plan B for the so far non-performing asset, and also maybe a quick comment on SEPSA and the potential disposal / the current status. Thank you.
Okay, this is Martin Kleinschmidt speaking. Maybe let me start with SEPSA. Of course, it's not the easiest thing to sell this company. You can see that because we have it has taken a lot of time until now. But we are still in discussions with several potential bidders. With some of them, it's a very early stage. So we don't know which development this will take. We think that there's a good chance, still a good chance to sell this company within the next month or half a year. And on the other hand, what is the downside risk? We always said this, that at least The downside risk is that we would have to liquidate the company. And as you know, the book value is zero in so the assets, there is no need for any further depreciation of assets. On the other hand, there are some bank guarantees and involving in our group financing. So we expect that there is a risk for maybe another 8 million or up to 8 million if that liquidation would take place. Yes, that's a situation regarding CEPSA. ALTE, there is, as you know, no M&A process or something like that. We are working very hard on the on the operational side, we get also some support from our customers. But on the other hand, of course, the risk is always that we will not be successful. There is a remaining risk. I don't know the exact figure, but I would expect something about 6 million euro if there would be a need for selling for 1 euro or liquidation or something like that.
Okay, thank you. And apart from these two ones, let's say looking at the other core parts of the business, any flavor on the next steps here in terms of measures and what is still out to do?
Yeah, Mr. Hauenstein, Thomas Zippel, let me continue on the overall cost savings and risk reduction. I think what Martin described already, I think the risk part, at least what was in our books in a going concern perspective, are more or less eliminated now. This should be over. Also with the release of the provision, I think we identified that we are working hard on this one. Regarding cost saving, I think this is an overall issue that we need to tackle, especially in the mobile but also stationary transportation segment. We are in intense discussions with our entities in our budgeted phase. I think we have preliminary figures here. And I think you can expect, this is what I can tell you already now, another improvement in 2019. This is at least, this is not a secret that we are aiming for that in order to come back on track regarding the overall margins Schaltbau should show you. How much it is, please allow us to wait a little bit for the final budgeting process. This also needs to go through the supervisory board, and they also might have a couple of ideas how and where to develop. And we will announce and issue our new guidance beginning of the year, as you know, and this is then the right time to also explain a little bit further where the next profitability increases really come from.
Okay, thank you. And the last question, maybe a bit more of a strategic one. Can you provide us some with more color and some flavor here, please, how much and where Schaltbau might benefit from the further major digitalization pushes for the rolling stock and the rail infrastructure industries? So maybe split in two of it, or maybe even in a third one with components. So I just want to get a better sense on how much and where exactly you can benefit from, let's say, the development towards smart cities and the like. Thank you.
Yeah, we initiated a big digitalization program on the headquarter, which impacts all our three segments. For example, in the mobile transportation, this is doing with, I would say, for example, predictive maintenance. This is, I would say, for example, the doors with sensors, with data, which we collect there. Then we can provide our customers with, I would say, pre-information. Then something of the parts are, I would say, needs the maintenance. The same we are doing in the stationary business. So we have a lot of, I would say, digitalization business and digitalization innovations in line with our customers. We are in the very beginning, as I would say every industry is, but it looks promising.
Okay, but can you give us an idea where or when and to which kind of extent we might see any impact here? I mean, are we talking in the next 5 years of a major contributor to the top line and also at the end hopefully to the bottom line, or when do you expect this kind of business to kick in materially?
Look, this is, Mr. Arnstein, this is always, I would say, a little bit difficult to answer. So more or less, this digitalization will take place in all our products. What do you see in the top line is, for example, that the products become more complex, and more complex means a little bit more expensive. And the big, I would say, task is now to put through this more expensive also to the market, that you got a win-win with your customer. So, for example, if you have a lot of sensors and storage, I would say, electronic devices in your doors, surely it's more expensive, but it will, I would say, lead to a better digitalization approach for your customer. And that's, I would say, what you see then in the bottom line. Yeah? Doors, for example, becoming more expensive, and this you'll see in the bottom line as example. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I pass it on.
We received our next question from Sascha Seiler, Countair. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the question. The first question from my side is a bit on what you described on your cash flow sheet, number 9. The working capital, maybe you can let us know how much working capital the company held in the Q3 and also what you see basically in terms of reducing it, your targets, where you think you end up the year. Last time I think you informed us you significantly reduce it to the end of the year, so maybe how that is progressing. Hello?
Just. You were not so easy to understand here. The line was very, very poor, but I think we received your question, Mr. Seiler. If I understood you correctly, you wanted to know how much the networking capital amounts and also what our plans are to reduce it. So far, the networking capital end of September is roughly 160 million euro that we show. This is, again, a big jump compared to last year. And we think we can reduce it by end of the year significantly, and it should go down quite a bit. But still, this is not satisfactory what the effect until end of the year, what we have here. We set up specific projects in each and every entity. This is mainly goes into the supply chain. We need to go through and really go into the entities. This is we tried from a kind of management from the holding, but this is apparently not successful enough. And we really have to go into the entities, go to the purchasers, go to the sales guys, and we set up a new program in 2019 in order to tackle this issue. This is a big source of financing power that we have internally, and this is what we may have to use quite a bit more, especially if you go to a refinancing process beginning of 2019.
Okay, thank you. And then maybe secondly, the fourth, the high working capital, the Bode subsidiary. If I do my figures correctly, you went from minus 4 million operating EBIT in 2017, 9 months, to minus 7.5 million in 18. So no improvement yet to see. Maybe help us a little bit to understand basically what initiatives you've taken and what you see basically maybe with the business running through from Q4 onwards, you know, if there's a significant improvement.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Seiler. The Bode Group by itself had big contribution to the EBIT. It improved roughly 5 million, but it was eaten by Alte and other, I would say, issues. So this is, I would say, a little bit difficult to read out of the charts, but this is the fact.
Okay.
Our following question is from Winfried Becker. Your line is now open.
Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Winfried Becker, Equinet. My ZEPSA question already has been answered. I want to touch briefly the latest Inno transfer. Maybe first one is you could give us an indication for the costs for that fair. I'm asking because it takes place only every second year. And so far, maybe you could give us a number here. And on the other one, looking forward a little bit, you presented a lot of products there, driver desks, new doors from Ravag, etc. And the question is if you could give us a feeling when all these modernized or real new products might materialize, what are the plans of introduction into the market, etc. If you could give us some more news there, would be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Becker, for this question. First of all, the InnoTrans was absolutely big success. Also, if you were there, the whole fair was very booth was very crowded, not only, I would say, with visitors, really with, I would say, serious customers. And we had a lot of, I would say, also final contracts which we signed there. So the cost is significant, no doubt about. InnoTrans, with all, I would say, the organization around, costs us, including Pinch, which is not on the booth, for example, for mobility. You know, we have two, I would say, booths. Mm-hmm. One is the stationary, one is the mobile. Together, roughly 1 million. Yeah. Okay. So it's every 2 years. Yeah. So, but you have to be there, and you have to show you, I would say, the customer. That's an absolutely must. But as I mentioned before, it was really, really a good success. The best, I would say, visit I heard we had in the last years. Second, the new developments, the new innovation, for example, driver desk, it's a big success. This new driver desk, for example, we have a customer today which gives us a contract with, by the way, prepayment, to develop a completely new driver desk for them, for Metro. I'm not allowed to say who. This is really one of the modernest, I would say, approaches in the whole world. Yeah, so we are really proud to have this order got, especially at InnoTrans. And also for our new doors, you know, we have these bits, for example, Bits is our drive of the doors, and we made a new generation out of this, and we will introduce this in the next months too with the customers, new projects. Yeah. These are two examples, so surely we have also other ones which are really a big success.
Okay, fine. And yeah, maybe only for clarification, these trade costs, 1 million roughly, you do not adjust in any case in the EBIT figure. You treat it as an, let's say, ordinary expense. Is that right?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? I didn't understand.
Yeah, excuse me. The trade fair costs, Dr. Köhler mentioned, with regard to your EBIT numbers reported and before exceptional items, you treat it as an ordinary expense.
Exactly. I fully confirm.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for that.
Sure.
following question is from Felix Lutz, Auto BHF. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have three questions. First, when is the time, or what is the time you have to use to get a solution with SEPSA before you have to take it back on the books? Second question, there was a good order in the stationary transportation segment. Can we expect more of that kind in the coming months? And third question, the EBIT in the component segment is really, really good. And what do you think is can we expect within the next months there? Will it be on this level, or do you think it will come down a little bit to reach more in the 15 to 17% area? Maybe you can shed some light on this. Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Mr. Lutz. Regarding SEPSA, as long as we have the intention to sell and we can prove it also to our auditors, and this is also what we tell you guys here, especially now in this call, we still have the intention to sell SEPSA, and as Martin already pointed out, we are in talks with several interesting parties. Then this status as an asset held for sale continues, and there won't change anything. So it depends not on a timely issue, but on how much and how serious we can, push our sales intention, and hopefully it will materialize very soon. This is all okay. What we can say about that. Okay. Regarding components, I do understand your question, and I also understand and honor your curiosity, but you know exactly that we cannot disclose any forward-looking margins with the guidance, and then we come a little bit closer, maybe for you, on how the components business will develop. As I said, the demand for our products, snap action switches, contactors, and connectors, is still ongoing. This is probably as a kind of a transition there.
Yes, and regarding your third question, of course we would be happy if we can get every quarter such order, such big project order, but they are in the market very seldom, so we don't expect that will stay on that level. But we hope that we get more of the smaller ones, so that the good development will also see the good development in the future.
Okay. Did I get it right? On one of the slides, you mentioned that there are some orders in the market right now, but you have to do a lot internally. So, I didn't get that point clearly.
Regarding what? Regarding
stationary. Yes, exactly.
Well, as we said, the market, at least the market for that is accessible for us, is more or less stabilized on the level where we are. Mm. This is what we can say with our approach and our after-sales business and also the new projects we win. This is more or less what we can say. This train formation unit project that I mentioned a couple of times in my presentation, this is for sure a remarkable high project that we could successfully win for us. But mm-hmm. those projects are not out there every day. We are fighting for our sales, and we're trying to convince the customers of the uniqueness of our products. But apparently this is with the infrastructure business of mainly Deutsche Bahn, but also a couple of others here in Europe. This is a tough business. But again, we are here in order to improve. This is all what we can say here.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. We received another question from Alexander Hornstein, DZ Bank. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello, Alex Hornstein once again.
Thanks for taking my last two questions, please. First of all, looking into the order book, as you said, you have already 420 million taken in, and I think more than 520 or so on the books. Is that fair to assume, even taking into consideration the parameter changes, that your sales number for the next year should be material higher than this year? Or is there anything I overlook here, and we should more model it as a flattish development? The last question for you, Dr. Köhler, please. After your first couple of months within the firm at the CEO position, I was wondering, what is your major finding and what is your major task for the next 6 months apart from what we have discussed in this call before? Thank you.
Mr. Hansen, thank you for your question. So, as you know, we cannot stick to a prediction of 2019 where the sales were going on. It's your own fantasy how it works. Sorry. So, to the second question, what is my impression and the main, work I am doing inside the company. Surely, first of all, Schalpo is a fantastic company with a big of know-how and good people, and we have to do the right things. Then Brode will perform very well. This is, my overall statement after some months here since May. I am staying here as a CEO in the company. And surely you can imagine my concentration is very, tough for the mobile transportation because this is half of the business. And especially for the Brode Group, we make a lot of operational improvements there, especially at Rawag and Brode Kassel. We shift production to low-cost countries, we energize bus stop business, and so on. So you can imagine we have a lot of programs running, and I think we will benefit in the next quarters and years from these improvements.
Great, thank you. All the best.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. As there are no additional questions, I will hand over to the speakers.
Thank you very much, everyone, for having joined this call. And before you go, we would like to let you know that we're looking forward to the continued dialogue with you, also in person or over the phone. So we will be attending the WebBank Equity Conference in Frankfurt on the 21st of November, for example, and there will be additional opportunities for individual or small group discussions in the next couple of weeks. So bye-bye, everyone, and have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.